Hey, you, looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabamaone.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One, one together. The Arkansas Razorbacks are coming off of a loss to Ole Miss. This weekend, they step out of the SEC and face off against a close football team in Memphis. And there is some bad blood between Arkansas and Memphis in the past about a return football game. That's only going to add to the stakes of this football game. We are going to be breaking down Memphis and Arkansas on this edition of the Stingray Show with Dave Wulshin, who is the voice of the Memphis Tigers, and then Kevin Bohanna from HogSports.com. Join us on this edition of the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, look. No.
Hey, Stingray, Here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside the Thursday evening edition of the Stingray Show. And Heath, right off the top, I do want to ask you, do you enjoy the college football history that we have started doing on the Stingray Show?
Yeah, except when you do the game from like 1955. Like, man, I wasn't around 1955. I was 20 years before I ever got on this earth. But yeah, I do enjoy those things. Again, Stephen, for our audience, I have no idea what Stephen's going to say. He hasn't given me any heads up on this,
right?
So I don't know Jack Diddley Poo Squat or what he's about to ask me. So with that, Stephen, try to catch me off guard if you can. I was able to get that Clemson Florida State game yesterday with that incredible punt from what was that, 1982, 1983?
Yes,
I remember that game.
All right. Can you tell me what happened in college football history that has to deal with the Alabama Crimson Tide in 1964?
Well, once again, that's 11, almost 12 years before I started walking on this earth. 64. On this day?
Yes.
I'm going to say they had a big win out of conference. I have no clue.
Joe Namath's performance for Alabama in the 1964 season on this day, He twisted his knee in a game against NC State, forcing backup Steve Sloan to lead the Crimson Tide to a 21-0 victory. Namath would return later in the season and lead the Crimson Tide to a national championship game. So on this day in history in 1964, Joe Namath is injured in a game against North Carolina State, forcing Steve Sloan to take over for Joe Namath.
And for our Ole Miss friends and family that listen to the show, you recognize that name, Steve Sloan. The rest of the SEC may not remember the guys much, but Steve Sloan was a big-time head coaching candidate. He was running a super high-power offense. Everyone loved the guy. And then Ole Miss was coming off Johnny Vaught. They went to Bruiser Kennard. That didn't work out. They brought back Johnny Vaught, and the man to replace him was Steve Sloan.
Yeah.
This was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when that used to be something big. But this was national news, and it never panned out for him in Oxford. Just never panned out. The great Billy Brewer, and I don't know how great the dog was, Billy the Dog Brewer, but Billy Brewer filled in after Steve Sloan after that didn't work out. So, yeah, Steve Sloan, hadn't heard that name in a long time, Stephen.
All right, you should know this one now. In 1982, what happened between San Jose State and Stanford?
I'm pretty sure that was an upset. I'm sure that was an upset. And, well, you know what? John Elway is probably playing quarterback for that. And you know what? His dad is probably coaching San Jose State. So John Elway's playing quarterback for Stanford. For the Cardinal, singular. And his dad is the head coach of the Spartans there at San Jose State. Am I right?
In the fourth and final game, pitting quarterback John Elway of Stanford against his father, Jack, the head coach of San Jose State, the Spartans defeated the Cardinal 35-21. It was the second win for Jack Elway over his son, where the father and son duo series went 2-2.
Wow. I did not know they went 2-2 against each other.
Yes.
That's funny and fun at the same time. John Elway always talked glowingly about his father.
Yeah.
And, of course, Jack always talked glowingly about his son. He was very proud of his son. But a little fun fact to throw in there to you, Stephen. Stanford's kind of known as a very uppity party school now. It's a very, very prestigious private school.
Yeah.
But San Jose State has been voted the best party school in America more than once. So, hey, I don't know what happens with those two play, but I got a feeling there's a great tailgate before the game and a great after party after the game. So, yeah.
All right. You ask everybody who their favorite college football player was growing up. Who was your first favorite? You've never asked me.
Oh, you've never asked me either, Stephen. Who was your first favorite?
Ron Dayne.
From Wisconsin.
And on this day in 1999, Ron Dayne became the Big Ten career rushing leader in a game against Cincinnati where he led, where he became the leader with career rushing yards of 5,615 yards. However, Wisconsin lost that game 17-12.
Wow. You know, Ron Dayne put up just insane stats. He left college football as the all-time leading rusher.
Yep.
And just had these insane stats. It was very impressive. If you want to go back and look at his stats, be ready to be wild. But Ron Dayne, he was a beast on the field.
So when we come back, we are going to be joined by Dave Wolshin. Who has his own radio show up in Memphis. He is also the voice of the Memphis Tigers to do a preview of Memphis and Arkansas. And then Kevin Bohanna will join us later on to talk about this game from Arkansas. That's on the other side of the break. And you're listening to the Stingray Show This is the Memphis and Arkansas preview show, and we will be right back. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let certified chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Watch for an accident west on McFarland at 13th Street. On eastbound McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, it's a 14-minute drive. North on Highway 69 from McFarland to Mitlary Road, it's an 8-minute drive. Northbound on Lurleen Wallace from 15th Street to McFarland, it's a 9-minute drive. And watch for roadwork Skyland Boulevard near Buttermilk Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
The best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show, and we are now going to do a preview of Memphis and Arkansas. And there's a little bit of animosity between Memphis and Arkansas because, you know, Arkansas was supposed to return that game, and they never did. Heath, briefly fill us in on that since you live up there in Memphis.
Well, this was a home and home back in the early 90s. And I want to say it was 1991, maybe 90 or 91. And Arkansas was supposed to return the game either 91, 92. And they're just not returning it this weekend. So it's been a while.
Yes.
So interested to see this game. Look, you know, Memphis has had some, Arkansas has had some bad teams over the years. And I understand why they didn't want to return the game those times. But during those Darren McFadden years and those great Houston Nutt teams, they didn't want to do it. But, you know, Memphis has had some bad teams over the years, and now Memphis is winning consistently, and now you want to return this trip? So
yeah.
I don't know what's happening up there, but I got a feeling we might find out a little bit with our next guest.
That is correct. He is known as the voice of the Memphis Tigers. He also has his own radio show there in Memphis. Please help us welcome to the Stingray Show to do a preview of the Memphis Tigers for the game with Arkansas, Mr. Dave Wolshin. Dave, how are things with you up there in Memphis?
They're good. I just, you've already, filled me in. Dan Mullen, Tommy Tuberville, you have really downgraded on this show. That is for sure. let me start out by correcting something that he just said.
Okay.
This is not the makeup game for that.
Oh, it's not. Really
is a brazen story, and it goes back to Frank Broyles, who was a guy very set in his own ways.
Yeah.
And he just decided, Memphis won the first three games of this series.
Mm-hmm.
And there were three games left, and they played two of them. They actually won those games, but as you alluded to, they weren't in the greatest form. And they felt like they had nothing to gain, everything to lose, and they were supposed to return one more game to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank just said, we're not doing it. And Memphis, because I don't know if there was any buyout language or money, because most of the time now you can buy a team out. Missouri did that with Memphis last year. They were supposed to come to Memphis, and they gave Memphis $1 million and played the game on a neutral in St. Louis. But there was no language in that contract. So Frank just said, we're not playing. So R.C. Johnson, the athletic director at the time for the University of Memphis, actually had a threat to go to court over it. And he really wanted them to come and play the game. That was the intention. And Broyles just paid him off for $500,000. So Memphis got $500,000 out of that deal, which at that time was decent money, but nothing like today's bucks.
Right.
Like that's how they got out of it. This is a separate entity. And they just canceled the game next year in Fayetteville. So this was Memphis supposed to go to Fayetteville.
Yeah.
And they've rescheduled that for 30. Now there's a legit excuse on this one. They're going to 9 conference games. So they had to cut out a non-conference game. And their choice was there's some FCS school that's still in the mix. Then there's Tulsa, and then Memphis was in there. And they opted to go with Tulsa because that was the more winnable game, at least at this point in time. So that game has now been scheduled for 30 if it really happens. But there is a $3 million buyout if they don't play that game.
Wow.
Interesting.
Dave Volosian's our guest, and Dave's the voice of the Memphis Tigers. Dave, this Memphis team, and being a resident right outside the city limits of Memphis, I keep my eyes and my ears on Memphis. And again, this program continues to rise and rise and rise. And the national media respect just kind of glances over from time to time. And Memphis has made a run to the Cotton Bowl. They have had great success year in and year out the past few years. Talk about this Memphis team this season. What is this team looking like? And what are some of your expectations of this Tiger team?
Well, three games in my estimation, is not enough of a true sample size to really figure out your team, especially in this day and age. I mean, Memphis has 70 new players. Now, that's not alarming. Memphis has already played a couple of teams that are like that, where they are all new faces, particularly when you're sort of in the middle here. Memphis is in the best of the group of now what will be six, but it's not the Power Four. So if a Power Four team sees a really good player at a group of six school, they got the money to buy him away. I'll give you a good example. The only school that does not have a lot of transfers is Troy, the team that Memphis played last week. Sunbelt team, been a good team. They lost John Sumrall to Tulane Green Wave, so they lose coaches along the way. And they only had, three transfers. Almost all their starters were back on a team that was not very good. And so you're led to think, oh, my God, there must be a great opportunity at Troy, or man, they got a lot of money we didn't know about that they're paying these guys to keep them. Or, and this is the conclusion I came to after watching them play, they don't have very many good players.
Right.
So the sign of a good group of six school may be the amount of transfers you have, because you're bringing in, especially if you're in the American, because there's three schools with a lot of NIL money: Memphis, South Florida, and Tulane. They're spending money. And then the service academies, they're paying their players anyway because they're in the military.
Right.
So, you know, that clearly, in my mind, makes it impossible to tell how good a team is after the first couple of games. I think now, and this is the new normal, I think it used to be the biggest week of improvement would be week one to week two. Right. Your goal is to always get better each and every week. But they always said the biggest improvement would be week one to week two because you found out your team. Well, I don't think you find out your team now until week four. So I think the biggest improvement is going to be week four to week five. I really do, because who the heck really knows what you got when you got 70 new faces like Memphis, when you've got 10 new starters on defense, even though some people think they've upgraded. You got to learn chemistry. You got to learn the playbook. You got to learn everything else. I think it takes a while. So to make a long story short, I don't really know what the expectation should be. And in the American is a good league. It's the best, as I said, of the Power Six. And in those preseason prognostications, Phil Steele, all those Athlons, I saw like five or six different teams that were picked to win.
Right.
So that's the kind of parity there is in that league. Look, USF already has beaten Boise, and they beat Florida. Mm-hmm. Of course, they got killed by Miami, but Miami could really be a great team.
Yeah,
you've seen Tulane knock the heck out of Northwestern and Duke. They got two Power Four wins, but how good are Northwestern and Duke? I don't really know. So you got to wait and see, like LSU beat Clemson. But is Clemson this year's Florida State from a year ago? It takes a while to figure it out. But you said something, Heath, that Memphis doesn't get its respect. I think the league doesn't get respect, number one. Mm-hmm. But number two, Memphis has come a long way. Since 2014, Memphis has the 12th most wins of any program in the country, okay? At home, their record, it's over 80% winning percentage with Ryan Silverfield. At home since 14, I think they have the third most home wins of any team in the NCAA. It all changed with Justin Fuente. The coach before him was a guy who'd been a running back in Memphis named Larry Porter. And Larry Porter was a great guy. I did his radio show. I did his TV show. But Larry Porter, honestly, if I'm speaking from the heart, as great a guy as he was that bad a coach. He's the worst coach I've ever seen at any level of coaching, period.
Right. I don't think anyone would disagree.
But Justin Fuente came in, who, by the way, just was named the new senior advisor to the college football playoff. He's a very sharp guy, a very interesting guy, loves college sports, doesn't need to work anymore because he got a big payoff to leave Virginia Tech. He came in, and he totally changed the culture. And since 14, this team has won. They went from him to Norvell, and then Norvell to Ryan Silverfield, who's got 45 wins in five in some change years.
Yeah.
And the guy is already the fourth most wins in the school's history for a coach. If he gets eight wins this year, which he will become – he'll pass Tommy West to become the number three coach of all time, and he'll have done that in 6 years. That's pretty steady stuff from Fuente to Norvell to Silverfield.
So we are up against yet another break, and when we come back, we are going to continue to talk about the Memphis Tigers. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. Be back in a few. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. That's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people come and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Season never ends. 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. And we want to welcome you back inside the Stingray Show. Hope all is well with you. And now let's continue our interview talking about the Memphis Tigers. So I do want to ask you about the Memphis program. You said, and Heath talked about the no respect and all of that, but Memphis has been talking about trying to get into a Power Four conference. Which conference do you feel like would fit Memphis the best?
Well, I think it was the Big 12, but clearly the Big 12 said, we don't want you. I mean, Memphis... And I got to give the late, great Fred Smith a lot of credit for this, and our president, Bill Hargrave. They put together a package that included FedEx and Lowe's, and nobody even knew that Memphis had an alum that was high up in Lowe's. But they put together a package that was literally $200 million. It was a five-year deal where it would not cost the league any money whatsoever. And at the end of the 5 years, if they wanted, they could end the deal before Memphis really became a full-time member. And I really think they're all waiting for when the next TV deals are done in 30 and when the ACC's penalty to leave is reduced and not as penal. Then I think there will be movement again. The dominoes will fall in these leagues. But I think the Big 12 wanted to wait until then before they made any moves, even though there was $200 million coming their way. And I do think, you know, Memphians are upset because they think it was like the $100 million that SMU paid to get into the ACC 2 years ago. Really wasn't the same deal because this was $200 million, but it was really an advertising revenue. So those schools would have to give something for the $200 mil. That could have meant signage in your ballpark. That could have meant in existing television deals that they would have had to put more spots in, whatever it may be. That might have been part of the reluctance. But I think in the end, they were waiting on the new TV contracts to see where everything is going to fall. And maybe there is some of this that they just didn't want Memphis. I don't really know, because to me, it's hard to turn down $200 mil when you're arguably third or fourth. You're certainly not one or two in the Power Four structure.
What's one thing that you really think Memphis can have success with in this game with Arkansas? What have they looked good at doing so far this season?
Well, what they've looked good at is running the football. They have a quarterback that can run just like Arkansas does. And it's interesting, Taylen Green will have actually played more games at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium than Memphis's starting quarterback, Brendan Lewis, because Lewis played one home game so far, Tigers 3-0. They played Chattanooga here a couple of weeks ago. That's the only game he's played in the stadium. Green, on the other hand, played here with Boise and was not very good, honestly. He could run the ball. He was not a very good passer. Under Pittman and Bobby Petrino's offense, this guy has really blossomed. He's throwing the ball a lot better, and he can flat out run too. So he's dangerous. They're dangerous. Memphis is going to have to score to keep up with them. And I think Memphis' defense is okay, but I know Arkansas's offense is really good. Now, their defense isn't so good. So I think the most important thing is Memphis will have to score. They're going to have to keep up with Arkansas on offense. And I think they can, because I think they can run the ball. If the run is taken away, if you look at their defensive line, they've got a tackle 6'5", 387. The other guy's 323. You got a 280-pound defensive end and a 275-pound defensive end. I mean, that's an offensive line. My gosh, they're so big. So, and Memphis likes to run the inside zone, as Sam Pittman told everybody this week. So I think Memphis, if they can't run the ball, and I'm not sure they can't, but if they can't, then Brendan Lewis is going to have to throw the ball. And he's throwing at about a 73% rate, actually better than that. He can throw the ball. I just think Tim Kramsey, the offensive coordinator for Memphis, has said, Why? We have these running backs. We got a kid named Sutton Smith who got hurt last year. They compared Sutton Smith to the Tiger running back Kenny Gainwell, who's now in the NFL. And Gainwell was a terrific collegiate running back. They thought Sutton Smith could be that. He kept getting injured, missed all of last year, got hurt in the very first game, like the third play. He's now won back-to-back Paul Hornung Awards, which is for the performance of a running back. He did it twice in a row. He had over 100 yards last week against Troy. And there's a kid named Greg DeWozier, got hurt in the first game. This kid's an outstanding running back. He may be back in this game. He's day-to-day. So I wouldn't say Memphis can't run the ball, but if they can't, the biggest key will be, can Brendan Lewis throw it against this team? And the other thing is it may end up being a turnover. Memphis, coming into this year, it created 40 turnovers last year. They were really good at turning you over. They were plus 18 on giveaway takeaway. If you recall last week, Arkansas was on the way to winning the game and turned the ball over. If Memphis can turn them over and doesn't turn the ball over, then they're in good shape. Arkansas plus one in giveaway takeaway this year. So it's always the case. But in this game in particular, taking care of the ball, I think, is going to be important. I was surprised, honestly, the line is at 7.5. I would have said coming into the week that the line would be 3.5, Arkansas. Mm. And it started at 4.5, and everybody's gone to the Hogs at 7.5, at least as we speak right now. So we'll see. But I think this is going to be a pretty good football game.
How do you see it playing out between Arkansas and Memphis there at the Liberty Bowl Saturday morning?
Well, I think the atmosphere is going to be great. You have to understand Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium is going through an upgrade, a remodel. So there is only 32,000 seats available. And last I heard, 30,000 tickets had been sold. So the atmosphere is going to be terrific. And, I think, as I just said, buckle up your seatbelts. I think there's going to be a lot of scoring. That, to me, is the foundation of this game. Can Memphis keep up with Arkansas offensively? And if they can, I think it'll be a whale of a game. I think on the Memphis side, I think Sutton Smith should have a heck of a game. I think we're going to find out if Brendan Lewis can throw the football. And can the Tiger defense, which has been pretty exceptional, they haven't given up a point, by the way, in the last six quarters.
They held Troy last week to 53 yards midway through the fourth quarter when they brought in third and fourth stringers, and they ended up giving up 112 yards, but it was the best defensive performance in the Ryan Silverfield era. Can they put some form of brakes on Taylen Green like they did against him a few years ago with Boise? He came in and he got knocked out of the game. They actually brought in the guy that ended up succeeding him at Boise. So can that defense stop him? Can they stop Jaylen Brown? Can they stop Omega Blake, who, by the way, played for Charlotte and played against Memphis last year, had three catches for 128 yards and a touchdown? Can they stop those guys? That to me is the question, and that's why we play the games. I don't really know.
And there you have it, Dave Woloshin, the voice of the
guys, I hate to do this. I got to run. I'm so sorry I can't hear you, but I hope it worked out. Great talking to you, Stephen, and to Heath. See you sometime down the road.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So, Heath, that is going to wrap up the Memphis side of this matchup. When we come back, HogSports.com's own Kevin Bohanna will join us to talk about this side from the SEC perspective, Arkansas. That's on the other side of the break. And you're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back.
So fun to have Wolo today. Dave Woloshin, voice of the Memphis Tigers.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, we'll do SEC Parlay Picks presented by Brian Harden Construction. We'll talk to Alex Scarborough from Bama 247 Sports. We'll talk to Brent Beer, Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Watch for slowing on Highway 69 north from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard. It's a 7-minute drive. Watch for construction on McWright's Ferry Road. It's being extended down to Rice Mine Road. We also have construction work on Highway 82. There is one lane open between Sam Sutton Road and Boswell Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside the Sting Ray Show. We are continuing our preview of Memphis and Arkansas. We just finished up with the Memphis side, and now let's continue with us talking about the Arkansas Razorbacks, who unfortunately are coming off of a loss to Ole Miss, a game they could have very easily won if they would have had better defense play. Kevin Bohanna of HogSports.com is here to break this game down for us. Kevin, how are things with you, and especially how are things in Fayetteville, Arkansas?
It's slow start to the week. Practice was a little somber. That's on the coaching staff. That's on the coaching staff. You have to have a little bit of pride, and you have to have a little bit of fortitude when you play this game. It's a tough game. Arkansas had a chance to win last week. You know, Jaylen Brown's fumble didn't lose them the game. It just prevented them from having the chance to win the game there at the end, or go ahead and take the lead. So that's behind them, and now it's time to move on to Memphis Tigers, who is playing their only P4 opponent this year. They're looking to make a statement at Simmons Bank Liberty Bowl Stadium this week.
Yes. Kevin, we talked to Dave Walosian, the voice of the Memphis Tigers, the longtime voice of the Memphis Tigers.
Yeah.
And we talked to Dave, and looking at the schedule, I noticed this back during the summer, but I was looking at it here when we're getting ready to talk to Dave. This sandwich game for Memphis is kind of ideal, but a lot of things have changed since the season has started. Back in the summer, you're like, oh, wow. You know, Memphis is sandwiched right there for Arkansas between the Ole Miss and Notre Dame. So they call it right there perfectly. And so because they got Ole Miss the week before, they got Notre Dame the week after. That's a perfect sandwich game. It's a trap game. Well, now Notre Dame doesn't look like Notre Dame, and they're just fighting for any kind of win. And the Ole Miss game was a little bit of a heartbreak, and no one wants to have a bad taste in their mouth. So now this game went from being a trap game to like, Memphis, you might be in trouble. You better be glad President Trump sent the National Guard in, because you might need it when the Razorbacks come to town.
It is, especially on those guys on the defensive side of the ball and offensively as well, because that side of the ball feels like they're one of the best in the country, if not the best. One of the analytical sites has the Arkansas offensive line ranked as the best blocking unit in the nation. So those guys take on a lot of pride. That was a rebuilt unit based on NIL money. They went and got Caden Kittler from UCF. They got Corey Robinson as a left tackle, and they moved Fernando Carmona to a guard from tackle position. So year two under Taylen Green has been everything that myself, the media, fans could have ever expected. He's leading the nation in yardage, total yards per game. He was the first Razorback in school history to have a 300-100 game. That's yards passing and yards rushing. And he leads the nation with 11 touchdown passes. So that gives you a lot of momentum to, okay, we're going to go out and really make a statement. Yes. For the defense, it's a little bit different. They have to prove that all the money spent on the back end in the secondary wasn't for naught, okay? This is the biggest secondary. We talked about it. It's fast and whatever. They just need to go out and cover somebody. Yes. That's what we've heard it all preseason, all fall camp. They can cover. Well, they can't keep their hands off a receiver. That's a big problem right there. Yeah. And they're going to have to cover Hawkins and Branham down the field without interfering. You know, they had 5 or 6 holding calls so far this year, especially in the last 2 games. So guard without putting your hands on them. The coaching staff is like, oh, we're going to put gloves on this week, or, you know, the mittens so they can not grab onto them. That's just football 101. That's what you learn growing up. A receiver gives clues on when they're going to catch the ball. The eyes get wide, the hands go up. That's simple stuff. These guys need to go back to the basics, which is what they did at halftime last week. Now, I have a problem with that statement, guys. This is the old coach in me coming out. Sam Pittman said, and I quote, "We were prepared for both quarterbacks, but we knew they were going to be," and I'm paraphrasing just a little bit, "we knew they were going to do the same thing no matter what quarterback was in there." Okay, so why the complication? That's the problem with a lot of these defenses now. They think the offenses are complicated, so they got to play not only chess, but they think they got to play 3D chess. And you don't have to. Ole Miss didn't do anything that was overly complicated last week. It was about lining up and guarding your area. And if you're going man-to-man and you got to get pressure, you better get pressure. Trinidad Samuels had a career night. He's got, started a quarterback controversy in Oxford now. So the defense better come out madder than a wet hornet. Or it's just going to be Groundhog Day week after week for Arkansas football.
All right. They lost to Ole Miss, but it was a competitive football game. Talk about the pressure and the hot seat talk for Sam Pittman this week.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much of the hot seat talk. I did read somewhere that he's one of the top 10 in the nation that may be on the hot seat. Okay. But when your athletic director comes out and says publicly at the Little Rock Touchdown Club on Monday that we are financially hampered in football, the premier money-making sport for our school, and says we cannot win a national title due to funds, what is Sam Pittman supposed to do, okay? When your expectations are not at the highest level,
yeah,
and you're just shooting for midway, which is to be competitive in the SEC. What is competitive in the SEC? Is it 3-5, 4-4? Is it just to make a bowl game?
Right.
You're not going to get a ton of recruits to campus like that, whether it be from high school or the transfer portal. So that just puts a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And Sam Pittman was asked that yesterday on the SEC teleconference, and he gave the right answer. He gave the, well, we know where we're at, and we know that revenue sharing is going to help, but it's not going to help for this recruiting class. It's going to help in the future. Well, as you guys know, this NIL revenue share thing has changed significantly since it first started.
Right.
You know, if you're not willing to have a collective and get some of the funny money that is legal, it's not illegal, because everybody's doing it that's in the top 10 or make, you know, when Arizona State and Indiana can make the college football playoff, there's no reason the Arkansas Razorbacks shouldn't be there.
Right. So when you look at this matchup, where are you most concerned that Memphis could take advantage of Arkansas?
So I got to give Steven some – I got to give him some props real quick, because I'm watching the game last week, and I told myself I wasn't going to get emotional this year, because it's moving from like a fan and a coach to a media role, you know, more than I have in the past, especially on the football side of things. Baseball, I can watch it without any emotion because I've been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, and got the extra free meal. But football, I still find myself just stopping everything and just watching, and I'm just locked in. And I get this text, and I pick up my phone that's from a 205 area code, and I'm like, all right, I know who this is from. So I look at it, and it says, Kevin, this Arkansas defense is not good. I can't say my reply because the FCC will get in trouble with the FCC, but it was a George Carlin word which said no, then the George Carlin word with an exclamation point after that. So it kind of broke my train of thought, and I kind of got back into the game, and I was just like, all right, let's get back to ground zero right here. So with that, I tell that story to say this: it's the defense for Arkansas. They wanted to simplify things. They did. They said they did in the second half. Well, they only gave up 10 points and 173 yards. 173 yards is still a lot, but it's not 300 like they did in the first half and 31 points. So simplify things. You have a thin defensive line, period.
Yeah.
You've got four defensive tackles. That's it. You need about seven that you can rotate in and out. You're beat up a little bit. Quincy Rhodes Jr. has a growing problem. He's going to be okay. But the linebackers were supposed to be the strength of this team. We talked about it in the preseason. I talked about it with you guys, that if there was going to be a strength on the defense, it's the linebackers. You got Xavier Sory Jr. and Steven Dix. You go back and watch last week's game, Xavier Sory got juked so bad. He got dead-legged by Kawan Lacy, and I was like, oh, this is good. So tackle in space. You got to be able to tackle in space, especially the way Memphis runs their RPO game and the read option game. Brennan Lewis is dangerous. He's dangerous when he gets out of the pocket. He can get the ball downfield. So they got to guard Hawkins and Branham on the back end. Now, you have your top cornerback likely out this week. Kenai Walker was carted off the field. He was down on the field for 12 minutes last week. To this point, he has not practiced. And we're recording, we're doing this on Thursday morning. He didn't practice. He hadn't practiced all week. So you've got backup cornerbacks in there. You have to have somebody step up on the defense and say, guys, we have to play like an SEC defense. Bottom line, that's what concerns me this weekend. Or it's going to be a shootout. Like I said, it's going to be Groundhog Day if they don't.
Kevin, look, man, this has been a blast. Hopefully this weekend I will text you something positive about Arkansas.
He's a negative Nancy. He's not going to do it. He's a negative Nancy, I promise.
Yeah, we're good. I expect it. So I'll make sure my Steven notifications are turned on, brother.
But, man, thank you for joining us. This has been a blast. Please tell your parents I am glad that they are Stingray Show fans.
Absolutely.
Woo Pig Suey to them, and we would love to catch up with you next week when we will preview Arkansas and Notre Dame. They are in Fayetteville.
That'll be a lot of fun. Be good to be back in Fayetteville, too.
Yes. Thank you, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Kevin, be good, brother.
Good to see you, Heath. Thanks, buddy.
All right. So that is going to wrap up this edition of the Stingray Show. Really do want to thank Dave Wolshin. Hopefully I said that correctly.
Wolshin. Yeah, Wolshin.
And Kevin Bohanna right there. When we come back on the Fun Friday edition of the Stingray Show, it is all going to be about betting. And Peter Burns will also join us. So we're going to talk about betting for the weekend with Tim Murray from that Vegas site that we had on a couple of weeks ago. And we're also going to be joined by Peter Burns. So a fun show tomorrow to wrap up this week.